Welcome to the Digital Identity Digest, the audio companion to the blog at Spherical Cow Consulting. I'm Heather Flanagan, and every week I break down interesting topics in the field of digital identity, from credentials and standards to browser weirdness and policy twists. If you work with digital identity but don't have time to follow every specification or hype cycle, you're in the right place. Let's get into it. Welcome back. It's nearly impossible these days to attend a technical conference or a standards meeting without the conversation turning to AI. Now, in identity and cybersecurity circles especially, the questions come really fast. How should an AI agent be identified? How do we manage delegation to an agent, or for that matter, to any other systems that the agent might enlist to complete its task? And perhaps most importantly, how do we limit the scope of the agent's actions so that, quote unquote, acting on my behalf doesn't turn into, quote unquote, acting far beyond what I intended? And these are big questions that we don't really have standard answers to, and they show up in many places across the technology stack, which means two things. First, it means that you can approach these questions from all variety of different angles, from the perspective of infrastructure, from identity systems, from application security, from governance, from policy. And given that, the second thing is that the people working in those different areas may not actually always know what's happening in the others. So it's like a whole lot of work, not very well coordinated. That said, someone does have to start somewhere. And for me personally, right now, I'm looking at this from the perspective of the World Wide Web. Now, the web platform has always had strong architectural principles about who acts, who decides, and who ultimately controls what happens online. So one of the questions I've started asking is how the recent wave of what people are calling AI browsers fit into these principles. Now, for the purposes of this discussion, an AI browser is simply a web browser that incorporates AI-supported features. And some of these features might include summarizing the contents of a page. They might include synthesizing information across multiple sites. They might include chatbot-style interfaces that allow users to request actions in natural language. And some of those actions are fairly small, asking the browser to explain a paragraph or find a quote somewhere buried in a long page or suggesting related information. Increasingly, though, these features involve the browser doing things on behalf of the user. Finding information, sure, but also filling out forms, comparing products, potentially even making transactions. And the more those capabilities expand, the more they start to stress an important concept in web architecture, and that's the definition of what even is a web user agent. Now, before I dig into that, I want to make one thing that just, it's worth noting about the AI browser label itself. Well, about the AI label itself anywhere, and that's referring to a product or a feature as AI is usually pretty temporary. It lasts only as long as the marketing department finds that label useful, and eventually that feature stops being special and simply becomes part of the baseline product. I mean, spell check was once a major innovation, and now it's just an expected tool. And the same thing's almost certainly going to happen here with AI. Today we talk about AI browsers. In a few years, we'll probably just call them browsers. Which is exactly why this is a really good moment to ask whether their behavior means anything for the web's underlying principles. So let's start by talking about the browser's traditional role. Now, in standards language, a browser is a user agent. It's software that retrieves web content and presents it to the user on essentially while acting on their behalf. Now, the phrase on the user's behalf has always been pretty important, but historically it has a very narrow interpretation. A browser mediates an interaction between a person and the web. The user clicks a link, the browser retrieves a page. The user fills out a form, the browser submits it. The user navigates somewhere new, the browser requests that content from the server. In other words, the browser is acting as an intermediary. It's facilitating interaction, but it's not typically making decisions for the user. Now, this model is reinforced by one of the web's foundational design ideas called the W3C's priority of constituencies. Now, if you've never encountered this principle before, it's pretty simple. When making design decisions about the web platform, the needs for the users come first. After all, after that, the needs of the web page authors come next. After that comes the needs of the user agent implementers, also known as browser developers. And then finally, you've got specification writers and theoretical purity. And that ordering matters. because that it reflects a just the absolute core philosophy of the web, and that is that the web exists for its users. Browsers enforce that principle in a whole lot of different ways by managing permissions for sensitive capabilities like camera access or geolocation, by isolating websites from each other to prevent malicious behavior. They provide indicators that help users understand where they are on the web and what they're interacting with. So basically, browsers are designed to represent the user's interests, and they sit between the user and the web, acting as kind of that protective intermediary. Great, fine, fantastic. So what's different about AI? Where do AI browsers start to stretch this model? Because the AI features don't automatically change the browser's role. If a browser summarizes a page you're reading or answers a question about the content already in front of you, it's still kind of behaving like a traditional user agent. It's helping you interpret something that you have already chosen to view. But things become more interesting when the browser starts to take actions that extend beyond user's immediate interaction. Consider a few examples that are already appearing in prototype systems, right? Ask the browser to research a topic across a dozen sites. Request that the browser monitor price changes and notify you later. Instruct the browser to find and book travel within certain parameters, or allow the browser to navigate services and fill out forms autonomously. In these scenarios, the browser is no longer mediating an interaction. It's actually executing on the delegated intent of the user. The user expresses a goal once, and the browser may perform many actions afterwards to achieve that goal. And that changes the nature of the browser's role in some subtle but pretty important ways. Now, delegation itself also isn't new on the web. We already allow applications to perform actions on our behalf through APIs, tokens, and service integrations. But what's different here is that the browser itself may become a delegated actor, which raises architectural questions. First, what counts as user intent? Now, traditional web interactions reflect direct user input, clicks, navigation, form submissions, right? It's immediate. Delegated browsing introduces a new pattern where intent is expressed once and actions unfold later. Determining how far the original intent extends becomes a design question. Second, another thing, how does consent even work in this case? Permission systems on the web are largely built around real-time decisions. A site asks for access to the camera, the user approves it or denies the request. Boom, you're done. If a browser is acting autonomously hours after the user issued a request, how should that consent be interpreted? And for that matter, who's accountable for those actions in the first place? When a browser submits a form automatically or interacts with a service programmatically, the action is still attributed to the user. But the user may not be aware of every intermediate step taken to achieve the final result. Maintaining transparency and accountability becomes a lot harder as the browser takes on more initiative. And there's another interesting side effect of AI-driven browsing. It begins to blur that long-standing distinction on the web between browsers and bots, right? Browsers represent humans interacting with sites. Bots, things like crawlers or automated scripts, interact with the web at a completely different scale and are often subject to restrictions or special handling. AI browsers kind of occupy that awkward space between these categories. They are controlled by a human user to a point and operate through a browser environment, but they may also perform automated actions that resemble bot behavior, navigating many pages, collecting information, interacting with services programmatically. So they're not exactly bots, but they're also not purely interactive user agents in the traditional sense. And as these capabilities expand, websites, and possibly standards bodies, need to reconsider how that distinction is drawn. Now, none of these questions have immediate answers, but the web has a long-standing tradition of addressing architectural challenges, hopefully early, before behaviors become deeply embedded in the ecosystem, which is why I think the rise of AI browsers is worth examining now and while these capabilities are still emerging. Because the core issue here isn't whether browsers will incorporate AI features. That's absolutely going to happen. I think it's inevitable at this point. Over time, those features will stop being marketed as AI and will simply become the new normal for browser functionality. So that brings us to these architectural questions that we need to get answered. Will the browser remain primarily a mediator between users and the web, or will it evolve into something closer to a proxy acting within the web on the user's behalf? And if the latter becomes the dominant model, the definition of a web user agent and the principles that guide that behavior probably need to evolve as well. And given how central browsers are to the web platform, that seems like a conversation worth having sooner rather than later. Stay tuned. I'm sure we're going to keep talking about this in future episodes, and I hope you found it thought-provoking. And that's it for this week's episode of the Digital Identity Digest. If it helps make things a little clearer, or at least a little more interesting, share it with a friend or colleague and connect with me on LinkedIn at HL Flanagan. And if you enjoyed the show, do be sure to subscribe and leave me a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. You can also find the written full post at sphericalcowconsulting.com. Now stay curious, stay engaged, and let's get these conversations going.